Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Dear Sugar is supported by
The universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Sugar is here, the both of us, speaking straight into your ears. I'm Cheryl Strayed.
I'm Steve Almond. This is Dear Sugar Radio.
Oh, dear soul, won't you please? Some bittersweet days with me. I check my mailbox every day for any sugar you send my way.
Dear Sugar, I'm a 30-year-old male dealing with confusion about romantic relationships in my life. Throughout my teens and early 20s, I was flying solo, no real relationships to speak of. I was very lonely. This was mostly due to my lack of confidence and self-worth. Through therapy, traveling, and generally becoming comfortable with myself, I've grown immensely. In the past few years, I've had two great relationships with two attractive and interesting women, both of which I decided to end based on deep-seated feelings I had that a long-term future with them would be unhappy. You talk a lot about intuition and trusting your gut in romantic relationships. What I am struggling with is the fine line between trusting my gut and clearly communicating with my partner what I want and need out of a relationship in order to improve it. When I ended these relationships, both breakups felt like I blindsided them. I was accused of terrible communication skills and confusing signals, the partner not knowing what they did wrong or not understanding me. I initially really regretted breaking up with both of them and wondered if I ended it too quickly. The first relationship became on again and off again for about a year, but I just couldn't live with the feeling inside me that there was more for me, though time and again it was hard to communicate this or work through it. I guess I wonder if it's poor communication and could I have come to love them more, or my gut was right all along and we just weren't a good fit. I'm afraid I'll never be happy in a relationship because maybe my gut is tricking me. Anyway, thanks, Sugar. Sincerely, communication skills. Sound familiar at all, Cheryl?
Well, you know, it's interesting, actually, because it doesn't sound familiar to me
in your experience, because men adore you. That's your fetish.
No, I don't mean it like that. What I mean is my sense of communication skills is he's in some ways being almost overly analytical about how to have a relationship. And, you know, I love he's clearly listened to our show or read the Dear Sugar column. It's true that I talk a lot about when it comes to love, you know, trusting your gut and following your intuition. And also this dynamic that I do think is a part of any long lasting relationship. And that is the feeling that you're with, if not the one or the right person, at least somebody who you really deeply, you know, feel connected to.
Right.
And I think that what communication skills is saying is like, okay, I didn't have that feeling with these two women, but neither did he, it sounds to me, talk to these women about it before he suddenly pulled the plug and said, oh, this isn't working out.
Right. So communication skills, the problem right now is not with your gut. The problem is actually with your mouth. You are entitled to your feelings and needs, but you're not entitled to lead women you care about down the garden path. That is called being cruel. And when they are blindsided, you're really not entitled to say that they felt blindsided, because actually they were blindsided. Mm-hmm. And I've got some good news for you and some bad news for you. The bad news is if you continue to behave in this way, you will not find happiness in a relationship. You are guaranteed to continue this pattern, which is deeply and painfully familiar to me. The good news is if you actually grant yourself the right to articulate your feelings and needs to the women in your life or the woman in your life, even though that's a tough thing to do, you stand a much greater chance of finding happiness.
This is your wheelhouse, Steve Almond.
Sadly, it is.
Well, tell us, I think
Yes.
What's so great is you're saying, look, I have been through this before. So I'm curious. I mean, I've said, like, look, I don't identify with this. This hasn't been my experience. But what about you, Steve? You know, what did it look like when you were struggling with these skills? And how did you change?
Men are really socialized in a different way. I mean, I think what we would rather do, or certainly what I would rather do, and I did all throughout my 20s and even early 30s, was sort of not tell the person I was with exactly why I was unsettled or the creeping senses of doubt that I was feeling about the relationship. I just sort of let it go. That was kind of good enough. And then my discontent would build up to a great enough point that I would suddenly say, yeah, I'm not really feeling this in the same way that you are, even though I'd really known that that had been building for a long time.
And meanwhile, the woman or the women you were with were thinking everything was great.
That's right. And there is a kind of... it's a sadism that's born out of insecurity. Mm-hmm. You know, men have a tendency to just sort of ignore it as long as the loneliness is being assuaged and the ego is being fed.
And sex is being had.
And sex is being had, absolutely. But I think that in a way that men aren't always as honest about, a lot of it is about assuaging loneliness. Because mm-hmm. he's in relationships. This isn't a guy who's out there having sex with lots of different women.
Well, one of the things that struck me about the letter is it does seem as if, you know, he's setting the bar rather high from the get-go. You know, it's okay to date some people and to halfway fall in love or to really like somebody and be very fond of them and have a relationship with them. You don't always know from the moment you meet that you've met the one. Sometimes you think you've met the one and it turns out not to be the case at all. You know, and maybe one piece of advice I can give communication skills is to relax into the pleasure and the joy and the mystery and the excitement of just simply getting to know someone and not having to, you know, be making this constant decision about whether there's going to be a long-term future with this person.
Right. It's fascinating.
He's 30 years old. Even when you're 50, you don't have to know that from the outset.
If any of this sounds recognizable to you, take it for what it's worth, leave the rest behind. I thought of myself as this guy who was looking for a long-term relationship, who wasn't going to lead a woman down the garden path, who was serious in his intentions and was trying to self-examine and figure out, well, I know myself a little better, so I want to build a future with somebody. And in fact, I wasn't ready for that. I was not being truthful about my intentions. And the advice you're giving him is very wise in the sense, stop saying that you're Mr. Right to these women. Mm-hmm. Stop saying, I'm really thinking about a long-term future, because mm-hmm. they're picking up on it. Mm-hmm. Because when you're involved with somebody who's serious, as these women sound like they were, they naturally get that expectation. And that doesn't have to be the possibility. Early in my relationship with Erin, she said to me, and I was just communication skills 101. I said to her, you know, you're in a different place in your life. I'm 8 years older than her. Like, I can't be involved with you. Because I just can't, because I'm thinking about my long-term future, like mm-hmm. communication skills. And Erin just looked at me and she's like, well, what about just me and my boyfriend?
Yeah.
I think communication skills, you might benefit from putting, as Cheryl's suggesting, less pressure on yourself to be Mr. Right. Why don't you just figure out if you like somebody, if you're feeling like you guys are building something that's just for the moment anyway, pleasurable. Don't worry about the long term. And then after it's been a few weeks, a few dates, a few months, you need to start thinking about, okay, what promises am I making to this person by being in this relationship? And do I feel like, what are my needs and wants? Mm-hmm. You know, and don't let it get so serious if you fundamentally aren't ready for a long-term relationship.
Well, it's really interesting to listen to you tell that story about, you know, here you meet Erin, your wife,
right.
and the first thing you're saying to her is essentially giving her a disclaimer about how,
like two
weeks
in,
she's, you know, she's not the one and can't be. And Brian did the same thing with me, only in the opposite direction. He didn't say...
You are the one.
No, he didn't say, oh, you know, you're not the one because I am, you know, looking for a serious relationship and a family and you're not ready. He said... you're not the one because I just want you to know before we do anything, and this was before we slept together, he said, I'm not looking for a relationship. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just, you know, and what I said to him, we laugh about it now because it was, he all but took out a 3-page, you know, contract for me to sign that I wouldn't, you know, expect anything from him if we had sex with each other. So he gives me this whole disclaimer about how he's not going to be attached to me. He has just met me, okay? And I said to him after he did the disclaimer, I said, that's fine. We can just be friends. We can just be friends.
Yeah.
And as I was saying that sentence, he leapt across the room and kissed me and was on top of me. And we laugh about it now. And it speaks so much to, you know, the emotional work really that Brian had to do before we really could become partners.
Yeah.
Because that was his trick. He basically wanted to have intimacy with women without hurting them.
Right.
And the way his way around it was, first of all, saying to them, don't go loving me, babe, basically.
Right.
Don't go loving me, babe.
Right.
And what he was doing is I think in some ways communication skills, what you're trying to do is assert a kind of control over a part of life that is not always under our control. And
right.
In fact, seldom is. I'm not saying that we don't get to make decisions about love and our relationships. We absolutely do. But I think the feelings you have, you don't know when you meet somebody if they're going to be the person you end up having children with and spending the next 20 years with or 50 years with.
Right.
You don't know that. And so leave yourself open to the possibility, both that that person is the one and that also that they aren't. And letting it come, you know, it's the same version that the story I just told is what, Steve, you told. You were saying, Aaron's not the one, you know, for
right.
different reasons. You were
right.
saying, I want the one. Brian was saying, I don't want the one.
Right.
And I was the one. And so this is about letting go, accepting that our emotional lives are in part mysterious, in part unpredictable, and that they will reveal themselves as they go. And that's what I mean when I say trust your gut.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
And also trust the women in your life. If you are being told communication skills, that you have terrible communication skills and that you send confusing signals, don't treat that like an accusation. It's true. And you need to think about, in what ways did I fail to communicate to these women about what I was feeling and needing? I think, like a lot of men, we have these feelings internally, deep-seated feelings, he says, that a long-term future would be unhappy, but he was frightened to say anything mm-hmm. to them because he didn't want to hurt their feelings, lose the security that they offered or the ego gratification. And so men clam up, and then at a certain point, it becomes untenable, and they drop a bomb, and, you know, women in their lives are saying, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is not the way to conduct any kind of relationship, romantic or otherwise. Your job is to be as honest as you can be with yourself and then with the person who's depending on you in some way.
Well, and when you're honest with yourself, being honest with others is just, it just comes naturally. You know, I mean, there is a, you know, when we talk about the intuitive realm, it is really allowing yourself to have the feelings you have so they're apparent to those around you.
Right.
That you're not faking it.
And the truth is, he was unsettled. He knew that for whatever reason, he doesn't get into specifics, but he didn't foresee a long-term future with these mm-hmm. with these two women. So you have to tell them that. And as soon as you start to feel unsettled, you need to listen to yourself. You know, the problem isn't that your gut doesn't have the answers, that you're not listening to it
mm-hmm.
because it's too psychologically and emotionally inconvenient to
mm-hmm.
do that. But trust me, it's a lot worse for those women. I still feel regret about that, about the way that I conducted relationships in my 20s and 30s. And I feel like, well, I can sort of try to let myself off the hook, or I had all these good intentions, but that really doesn't matter for shit when you leave behind you people who are good people, who had honest intentions, who were as honest as they could be with you, and you weren't with them. It doesn't have to do with your gut. That has to do with your heart, with being mm-hmm. courageous and with your mouth, speaking the things that you're feeling. And communication skills, you know, I thought for many years, oh, well, I'm supposed to end up with this sort of person or that sort of person. I had all these boxes. And Cheryl's right. You have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you can do is be as honest with yourself as you can about what you think you need and then be prepared to be disabused of those notions.
Yeah, the only thing I was sure of is that I would end up with a guy who looks pretty much exactly like John Bon Jovi.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that Brian and John Bon Jovi bear a striking resemblance?
It's unsettling.
It is. So that's the only thing I knew when I predicted my future life partner.
And that's the one
Everything
thing you
else
got right.
It's the one thing I got
Shot
right.
Shot through
John
the heart, and you're
bon
to blame Cheryl Strayed, a bad name. Yeah. Well, listen, communication skills, you need to stop giving love a bad name. You know, that's the bottom line here. Like, you should enjoy the happiness of being in relationships and the women who you're with. If it doesn't work out, no harm, no foul, as long as everybody's up front and honest with one another.
And rock on, brother.
Rock
you're
on.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah. Is what you say. You promised me heaven.
We've come to the end of another Dear Sugar podcast. I have important things that I need to tell you. Dear Sugar is produced by WBUR in Boston. Our producer, our editor, is the wonderful Lisa Tobin. And thanks to Jim Brunberg, our engineer. We would love to hear from any or all of you who are brave enough to write.
It's DearSugarRadio@gmail.com. Thanks.